Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're tackling socially responsible marketing. And let me tell you, the source material's pretty fired up about this.
Yeah, and for good reason. This isn't just about companies, you know, trying to look good by slapping a feel-good ad campaign out there, you know? This is about how marketing can actually be a part of the problem, you know, how it can actually perpetuate social injustice, and more importantly, what we can do about it.
So right off the bat, the source kind of throws down this challenge, right? They're saying that a lot of marketing that's out there, whether it's intentional or not, actually contributes to inequality. Hmm. And we're talking, you know, small potatoes here. This is about big picture systemic issues.
And that's what's so fascinating about this source, you know, how they connect the dots between what's happening with marketing practices and these broader social problems we see, like the lack of diversity in leadership positions, right? Or the gender pay gap. The source is saying these aren't just unfortunate realities we have to live with, you know. They're actually being reinforced, you know, even worsened by how products and services are marketed.
Okay, so let's get into some specifics. The source, you know, really dives into a bunch of different examples. And the first one that they bring up is financial products. Mm. And they point out that women are so much less likely to invest outside of, like, you know, their retirement accounts. We're talking like single digit percentages here.
And this is where the source makes a really bold claim. They're saying this gap, it's not just some coincidence. They're saying that the way financial products are marketed is a major, major contributor. Like, they use the example of iron condor options, which, by the way, is a crazy complicated options trading strategy to illustrate their points. Like, who's even gonna understand that, right? Their point is that this kind of intimidating financial jargon, it can be really, really alienating, especially, you know, for women who may have been, you know, historically excluded from these conversations.
But it's like they're using this overly complicated language. And it creates a barrier to entry,
right?
Even if it's not intentional, which maybe, you know, maybe sometimes it is, who knows?
Yeah.
But it ends up disproportionately impacting women who are just trying to, like, you know, figure out the investing world.
Exactly. And the source is saying, look, this isn't some crusade to, you know, oversimplify everything. It's about recognizing that women are just as capable as men when it comes to understanding this stuff, you know, engaging with financial products. They just need a fair shot.
So moving on from the world of finance, the source goes on to tackle the world of sports, specifically the huge gap in pay between male and female athletes. And look, we've all heard the arguments, right? About revenue, viewership, all that.
Right. And the source isn't denying that those factors are part of the equation, but they're arguing that marketing plays a much bigger role than we might think. You know, it shapes those perceptions, right? You're saying that if marketing agencies, you know, just put the same energy and resources into promoting women's sports as they do men's, we'd see a totally different landscape.
Yeah, it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy, you know? Mm-hmm. If you don't promote it as much, it won't get as much attention.
Mm.
And then, bam, they use that to justify not promoting it as much.
Precisely. And this isn't just about fairness for female athletes, though that's obviously a huge part of it. But the source argues it's about something bigger. It's about challenging, you know, these deeply ingrained societal norms we have about the value of women's sports.
And speaking of challenging norms, the source dives into the tech world next, which, you know, you think tech would be a little more progressive. But
right. You'd think so. But they argue that a lot of tech marketing actually creates this bro culture that can be really alienating for women. And they actually, you know, unpack what that means. They don't just throw out the term bro culture and leave it at that.
Right.
They're talking about how tech marketing often uses this like hyper-masculine language, imagery, you know, even humor that just makes women feel like they don't belong.
And they use a really interesting example to, like, really drive this point home. They talk about cryptocurrency mining. They're saying just because a man might use his, you know, super high-powered graphics card to mine Ethereum doesn't mean a woman wouldn't be interested in doing the exact same thing. The technology itself, it's gender neutral, right? But the way it's marketed, not so much.
And that's where this whole idea of unconscious bias comes into play. Even if marketers aren't intentionally trying to exclude women, the way they frame their message can have that effect. You know, it can send the wrong signals.
So it's not enough to just avoid being like overtly sexist. Marketers need to be like really self-aware of these subtle cues and biases that can creep into their work.
Absolutely. And the source argues that this awareness is crucial, especially in industries like tech that are already, you know, struggling, I think is a fair word, grappling with issues of diversity and inclusion.
So far, we've talked about finance, we've talked about sports, and we've talked about tech. all areas where marketing can either, you know, reinforce these existing inequalities or actually challenge them. And next up, this source takes aim at, you know, this really visible symbol of inequality, right? The corporate boardroom.
Yeah, and they don't beat around the bush about it either. They basically come right out and say that if you're a publicly traded company today, in this day and age, and you have an all-male board, well, get ready for some awkward conversations, especially with investors.
Which, I mean, makes sense, right? Investors were way more tuned in to this stuff than they used to be, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're looking at diversity and inclusion, or the lack thereof, as a sign, you know, just like an indicator of the company's values, even how viable they're going to be in the long run.
Totally. It's not just about optics anymore, you know. Having a bunch of different voices in the room, people from different backgrounds, it just makes good business sense. Having a diverse board brings all those different perspectives and experiences to the table, which, you know, ideally leads to better decisions and ultimately a healthier bottom line.
And this is another place where the source really calls out the role of marketing agencies in all of this.
Yeah.
Like, they're saying that a socially responsible agency, you know, they shouldn't just be going along with the status quo, right? They should be advising their clients to actually walk the walk when it comes to diversifying their leadership. And then, I love this part, they should be making that a key part of their brand story, you know?
Yeah.
Like, actually talking about it.
Yeah, it's not enough to just do the right thing behind closed doors. You got to be willing to put yourself out there, be vocal about it. Consumers can tell when you're being sincere and when you're just trying to, you know, jump on a trend. Especially younger generations, they can spot woke washing from a mile away. But when a company's actually living its values and they're open about it, you know, warts and all, that's what really resonates with people.
It's not about avoiding bad PR. It's about attracting customers who, you know, share those values. And speaking of values, the source makes it clear that they're not just going after the big guys here. They don't let small businesses off the hook. In fact, they call it this practice that I honestly couldn't believe. They're saying that some marketing agencies actually charge women-led businesses more for the same services they offer to men.
It's crazy, right? Like, how is that even legal? And the justifications they give are just ridiculous. Things like, oh, it's more customized for women-owned businesses, or get this, they need things explained in simpler terms.
Which is like, come on, you know?
Yeah.
That plays right back into those stereotypes we were talking about before. It's like, they're saying women aren't as business savvy as men, so they need to pay a pink tax for their supposed ignorance.
Exactly. And the source points out how messed up this is, especially for women who are just starting out. Like, women entrepreneurs are already facing an uphill battle, you know, and then to have this kind of discrimination on top of everything else, it's just wrong.
It's a good reminder that these issues, you know, these deep-seated inequalities, they can pop up in the most unexpected places. Okay, so after laying out all these examples of how marketing can go wrong, the source switches gears a little bit. They offer this really powerful call to action for businesses.
And they're not mincing words either. Their message is crystal clear. If you're a business owner, you need to make social responsibility a priority. Not just something you tack on at the end, you know, when you have some extra time or money. This needs to be a core value, something that's woven into everything you do.
And they take it a step further, which I appreciate. They connect this idea directly to long-term success, especially in the world we're living in now.
Yeah, they're saying that we're at this turning point. Consumers are demanding more from the businesses they support. And in a world that's increasingly focused on social justice, you know, holding people accountable for ethical practices, businesses can't afford to ignore this stuff anymore.
Yeah. They actually argue that not prioritizing social responsibility is kind of like shooting yourself in the foot. It's like they're saying that if you're not paying attention to these issues, you're putting yourself at a real disadvantage.
And it's true. It's not even just about, like, PR anymore. It's about recognizing that social responsibility just makes good business sense.
Okay, so it's not just the right thing to do. It's also the smart thing to do for your bottom line. But here's the million-dollar question. How do you know if a marketing agency is actually socially responsible? Like, for real? Or if they're just really good at marketing themselves as being, you know, socially conscious.
Yeah.
Like, how can you even tell, right? It's almost like you need like a checklist to verify someone's checklist. How can businesses really cut through all the noise and find an agency that's, you know, actually walking the walk when it comes to this stuff?
Well, the good news is the source does give us some clues. They say true social responsibility, it's not about like surface level stuff, you know, like just saying the right things or having a token employee resource group. It goes deeper than that.
So what, like, What should businesses be looking for?
They need to be willing to take a hard look at the agency's practices, like really scrutinize them. You know, what are their stated values? How do they treat their own employees?
So it's about looking inward as much as outward.
Exactly. A good place to start is, like, their leadership team. Is it diverse? Are they paying their employees fairly? Do they have actual policies in place to promote diversity and inclusion? You know, not just empty promises. These are all things businesses should be asking about up front.
It's like doing your due diligence, but for social responsibility.
100%. You wouldn't partner with a company without doing your research, right?
Yeah.
Checking their references, looking at their financials. This is no different.
And don't be afraid to ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
Exactly. Grill them a little. Ask them what their core values are, you know? Can they give you some concrete examples of how they've actually woven social responsibility into their work? If an agency is truly committed, they'll have no problem backing up their claims.
And I think this goes back to what we were talking about earlier about transparency. Consumers today, they have really good BS detectors, right? They can sniff out inauthenticity a mile away. So it's in everyone's best interest to just be upfront and honest about where they stand on these issues.
Totally. And you know what? To wrap things up on this deep dive, The Source leaves us with one final thought-provoking question that I think is worth sitting with. If you're a business out there and you consider yourself socially responsible, are you willing to take the fall for a marketing agency that isn't?
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because in a way, you are right.
Right. It makes you think. Because at the end of the day, your reputation is on the line. If you team up with an agency that doesn't share your values, it's going to reflect back on you, even if you weren't directly involved in whatever they did.
So it's not just about finding an agency that can, you know, write a catchy jingle or whatever. This is about finding a real partner, someone who understands your values and wants to work with you to, you know, make the world a better place.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And the best part is, these things aren't mutually exclusive. Like, you can have a successful business and be socially responsible. As The Source has shown us, doing the right thing is often good for business.
And on that note, that's a wrap on this deep dive. To all you listeners out there, remember, the choices you make have a ripple effect. So choose wisely. We'll catch you next time.
Trade Planner is a full-service marketing agency in New York. To promote your brand and grow sales, contact us at tradeplanner.com.